This is Shirley Stolzer and Judy Rubenstein on this August 22nd, 1994, interviewing Mr. Jack Buncher for the second session. Mr. Buncher, will you just say your name so that we can be sure it's being recorded?
I am Jack Buncher.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Buncher, the last time we were here, we stopped around the time of the flood, and you were telling me that you had been contacted by the Allegheny Garbage Collection Place. They wanted to put you in a position with them, and I don't know whatever happened with that. You never finished that little story, whether you ever took the job or was there a special job for you.
they asked me to do the cleanup work there, and I went ahead and made a contract. As a matter of fact, I wound up not only cleaning the place up, but I built my first building there out of used material that I had reclaimed from other there and other places.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the start of
some other things.
Yeah.
You also you didn't mention it, but I had noted in one of the materials that we had that you had gone about 2 years later. You went with an engineer from J&L around the country to pick up equipment, and I wondered whether this was also a contract or part of you, part something that they hired you to do. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that very well. I spent the reason for that, or the purpose of that, was that the war had broken out in Europe, and they needed equipment and machinery and things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to have them built and whatnot, and they wondered if I could locate them, because I had been in the demolition business.
I see.
And I went ahead. They assigned an engineer to me,
mm-hmm.
who was retired, had been the chief engineer of the Aliquippa Works, and he traveled the country with me. And I took him to all the places that I knew had been shut down because of the war effort,
mm-hmm.
and weren't necessary anymore. And the big amount of it seemed to be in and around Easton, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
And so you must have really made a name for yourself by that time, that they knew to come to you as a person who could possibly help them. I mean, J&L was a big company.
Well, I had made a friend of a chap during the flood. I think I may have explained how that came about.
Mm-hmm.
The flood of 36, mm-hmm. was it 1936?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I was asked to clean up the garbage first on the island, and once they had heard I had done that, J&L asked if I would go down to Aliquippa and do the same thing for them down there. And I did. It was a matter of going ahead. In those days, you just had to go out and find the
right man
and the trucks and what, and you went ahead and did it, and I did.
What do you mean by the island? I don't know what the island was.
Ayers Island.
Oh, is that where J&L was located?
That's where, no, Ayers Island was where the garbage company was located.
I see.
Armor had a place on Ayers Island. The garbage company had the upper end.
So you took that on.
I took that on.
And meantime, too, with these early years of World War II, I understand that you went to South America.
Yes. That was when, of course, once the Pearl Harbor, when they bombed Pearl Harbor, we were out of business, and our ships were down, and it was a case of starting from the beginning. And one of the things they asked me to do was to get down to South America and see what was happening to all the machinery and stuff that was not being used, sent down there, and they just kept ordering more and more, but nothing was happening with the scrap. So they said, get down and see about getting the scrap back.
Okay.
So I was a scrap man, so I flew down there, and I went around, and I may have told you that was when I started and found out that these people down there, instead of fixing a thing up if it stopped running, getting a mechanic and fixing a part or a thing, they would order a new machine. It was easier to do that. They just kept doing that. And all these machines with very little damage to them was lying in the fields there.
Nice.
And of course I didn't speak either Spanish or the other language,
Portuguese.
And I had a difficult time. I may have told you that I'm walking through the town, I met a little, I happened to pass, fortunately, I passed a couple with two small children, and they were talking Yiddish. They were, you know, speaking Yiddish. So I tapped them on the shoulder. Okay, so I went over and I tapped them on the shoulder, and I had a Brooke Seersucker suit on, you know, blue and striped. It was hot. And I touched them, and I looked down at him, and I said, "Die bist du hier?"
Uh-huh.
And he looked up at me, and he said, "Die bist du hier?" So anyway, to make a long story short, he took me home, and he was very, very nice. We spoke Yiddish all back and forth, and I told him what I was doing down there. And I told him about all the trouble I was having to try to get somebody to help me and
translate
and do things. He said to me, he said, this was a little town square that he was in. He said, there are people in Yiddish, he was telling me, that you can trust. And that I would tell you to go to. He did that. And it made that, then I was able to get a boat and start loading it. But he said to me, he said, in every small community there, this was a little community,
right,
not on the oceanfront where all the rich Jews were there. He said, you will walk around the town square like you would here and look in, and if you see a jeweler or an eye guy or something, you know, and walk in and
it's a good possibility being Jewish.
Jewish.
Yes.
He said, and if he speak Yiddish to him, the best I had, or something, then, you know, but if he knows you, he did it. So that's what I did. And I went all through South America and shipped out all this stuff back to the States and did very well with it. And of course, developed a lot of scrap for the government here.
Was that who sent you, Mr. Bunter, the government?
Oh, yes.
Asked you to go
the
there?
Yeah.
Do you know
because
what...
Because they needed the... they needed the raw material for the, for the guns, yeah. They were shipping to Canada. in Canada, they were at war over there. See, we weren't involved in that war over there. And they were shipping it, we would ship the seamless tubing for the shell casing, which JNL made as a product. And, of course, they needed more machinery to make more shell casing, a tubing and whatnot, and that's what I was doing. So I kept shipping that. Well, not only we got to shipping the material, my brother was here, and we were partners at that time. And I had another brother in the business before that time too. My dad was in the business, the junk business. We were always in the junk business. And
were they with you? Your brothers were with you in South America?
Me. Oh, sure. Oh, no, not in South America. They were here.
Here in the city. See,
no, I was shipping the stuff back to the States.
I see.
And they were, they not only turned it into the mills, but we also started building the mills for them and doing a lot of other work for them. And that's how I
expanded.
And I made a very good friend of the purchasing agent who was there. He was he was only a buyer when he found me to clean up the mess down there. But he got promoted, and he never forgot me, and I never forgot him.
Where was he the purchasing agent for whom?
Jones and Walker.
Oh, for Jones and Walker. What countries did you go to in South America? Do you recall?
Every single one that was there.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So you must have spent quite a bit of time traveling.
I did. I was away all the time. I went from one country to another because they were shipping stuff back to the States here. Chile was shipping copper and nitrates and whatnot. And, the rubber was coming out of the Amazon down there. In those days, that's how we were coming over. And let's see,
was Brazil?
Brazil. Everyone was supplying product to the States. It was coming up here for the manufacturing. So I had the same situation all over the place. And that's how I got started.
And did you meet into many Jewish communities there?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, that's what made me think of trying to help these Jewish communities. And that is where I started to... Did I tell you about this?
No.
I started to do the... I decided I would like to help those people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, I talked to the fellow who was
UJF
Federation here.
Howard Reagan.
And I told him I'd like to help these people. And they developed a program for letting visiting these small communities and leadership to develop to ask them if they had somebody who wanted to continue with the Judaism, the studies, remain Jews, and whatnot. And if they did, they could join in a contest and I would pay the expenses of shipping them to Israel.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And that's how the leadership, Bunchur Leadership Program developed. As a matter of fact, was it yesterday or Friday? Yesterday or something. I got in the mail a very interesting... This was a letter.
Wow.
When
Could we have a copy of this? Could we have a copy? That's a very beautiful letter, Mr. Buncher.
Well,
could we have a copy?
Sure.
That's a beautiful letter.
This foundation was started about in the year...
Do you remember?
When I started this foundation.
The foundation was in 1991.
The leadership program.
I started it, yes, immediately upon coming back and, and being able to do it. I talked to Howard Rigger with the Federation.
Right.
And I told him what I wanted to do. And he helped set up the program. And all I did was fund it.
Now, this involved sending somebody from one of the South American Jewish communities?
It would be, yes. They would select in each community would have, they'd had contests.
Yes.
And the ones they would select would be sent to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And
for how long? Was it a limited time?
Yes, it was for go through
mission.
Yes, and just like any other, if you ship an American ship their child over
right,
to Israel, they'd say, "Well, you take them and teach them what Israel needs."
And, oh, that's interesting.
And they shipped them around. Oh. And to make a long story short, we now have in Israel, and have had for many years now, a woman full-time, and she has, she's since remarried, but she's still working for us, and I'll show you this most recent thing here that she sent.
That's the one on Russia.
Oh, this is the one, this was mailed to me just the other day.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to show me just how far we have come in with the leadership group.
Oh,
wow. And this is, you can, this is, Jeannie here will explain it. Jeannie, would you please?
So it's expanded beyond South America.
This is
Russia.
Oh, it's all over the world.
It is all over the world.
As a matter of fact, one day a chap came walking in and spoke very good English. And, and he said, I heard about your program, and I would like to have one of our people be included in it. Or not one of them, but our people be considered and included. And he spoke perfect English, and I said to him, where are you from? He said, I'm from, was it India? Where was he from?
I'm sorry, Mr. Roger.
The fellow who came here from the, was he?
Do you remember where he was from?
Yeah,
he came to say he was interested in this.
He heard about the program, and he told me, I'll tell you in a minute.
Stop. We're going to stop 1 second. All right, we were talking about this wonderful leadership program, and you say now they come from, they have people all over the world. Do they do the same thing with the contest that you originally mentioned?
India. He came from
India.
They, of course, at one time, India was occupied by
England,
and they spoke excellent English there. So this chap came walking in, and he told me he had heard about the leadership program. And I said, where are you from? So he said, I'm from India. I said, India? You speak English? And he said, well, he told me why, and of course, I said to him, how come I haven't heard from you before? He says, well, I don't know. But he said, and he picked up the front of his head, the hair from his head, and he had a mark, a caste mark, up on that. And he was from India, and it said, Bene Israel. Well, Bene Israel, I said, well, that's my synagogue. I
yeah.
my synagogue. I've got, how can I not say that? See, so that was his caste mark. So, of course, I then had people from India in the program. Started them. And that's how this thing has
been. But he saw you here? He's in Pittsburgh.
And came all the way into Pittsburgh.
Oh, my.
Came into this office here and sat just where you're sitting. We had this.
Have you heard from some of these people who have gone to Israel?
Constantly hear from them.
That's beautiful.
We hear from them all the time.
What a beautiful thing.
Now they are. The program has gone. I can't tell you how big it's gotten. Well, I showed you this last
the map. This map.
This is
all
Russia.
All earmarked. Yeah. And the letter is self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Explains the map.
I see. Tells you where.
We found our answer here.
What?
On the inception of the leadership program.
Yes.
Looking back in let's see, December of '88, acknowledging. Check as payment to begin the funding of the leadership program. This is dated December 8, 1988.
Oh, that's beautiful. So that's a while back that you started it. And it has continued, and today it's still
it's grown.
Yes.
It's gotten bigger and bigger.
By the way, did you maintain the relationship with that first couple that you met in South America who really started you on this whole idea?
Oh, I never went back to see him.
No.
What country was it?
I forget what particular country it was. But it was in one of those little town squares where the boats docked there. There was shipping port.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a little community there, and that was...
What kinds of things did the Jewish community do in South America? Do you recall?
Yeah, they...
Were they mostly professionals?
They were... most of them worked, just as I told you, in jewelry shops. Or
yes.
Just merchandise
I
businesses
see.
And whatnot. But I got to... I went around these little town squares from one to another, and I had enormous success. And I said, someday I would help them.
That's beautiful.
So that's how this program started.
That is a wonderful program.
Anyway, that's the way things start.
Beautiful, beautiful. So this was also contributed as a help to the new state of Israel to have people coming from America. Through your leadership program. For the new state of Israel that started, your program really supported them too.
You have, I'll tell you what happened. excuse me.
That's all right, take your time.
what happened was that this program, you want to hold the tape 1 second?
All right.
When we returned, I worked with Howard Ricker here, who was connected with the Federation.
Right.
And told Howard what I wanted to do and would like to help the people who had been of great service to me. And he said, well, how would you think would be best to do it? I said, well, I can maybe get people from each community and see how many we can try for. And started the program up. And what they did, they would invite these different two or three from the community who were interested in working in the Judaism and whatnot, and going to Israel and learning about what Israel was all about.
Sure.
And they said, well, then fine, we'll have little contests and have a group judge which should go. And that's what they, that's how it started. And today it's...
It's an ongoing leadership program.
It's an ongoing leadership program, and I can't tell you how many
people
thousands
have gone. Isn't that beautiful?
Thousands.
And it's a revolving fund for them to get there and come home.
Yes, and we have a full-time...
woman, you told me.
Woman there.
Suzanne
Miller. Excuse me.
What's her name?
Suzanne Miller. Sure, I believe it.
S-C-H-E-R-R.
Mm-hmm.
Is she an Israeli or American?
Yes, she's an Israeli.
Israel. where is she located in Israel? Do you know? Where does she have?
She's in Jerusalem.
And so they come to see her, and she makes arrangements for what they're to
she
do.
She has a program all set.
That's
for
beautiful.
Them to go through it. And they go from one community to the other, you know, and then of course, after they, what is that about? 2 weeks, so they're at that first trip, and then they go back to their community, and with what they've learned, and then they the following year, they have a. A chance to go back to Israel again.
Really?
Yeah, to again continue on. But what most of them stay in their communities and help these different programs to continue.
So
they have inner meetings with themselves, you know.
Good. And do they now contribute to Israel financially? These communities?
Know.
Oh, you don't know whether they raise money.
No, I don't. Israel doesn't need money. Mm-hmm. They need help.
People.
And this
people.
Is too, so that the people will still learn their Judaism within their own community.
That's exactly right.
What are these, I see on your desk a couple videotapes for Jewish Small Development Leadership Development Program, a Latin American course. So that possibly some people could learn more even in their own communities via tape and
this I believe is just was for Mr. Bunker's benefit as the word.
What's being disseminated. That's
and if you'd like to have it.
Yeah, that would
be interesting.
Yeah, we'd like to have it as right. And
we don't have a main point. No.
So these people really came not too long after the new state of Israel and gave support to them by even being a part of the community there.
Oh,
knowing
yes,
what they did.
This was, yes.
Have you been to Israel?
Yes.
Yes, good.
Well, I was in Israel before Israel was Israel.
Ah, I see.
Before
it became a state.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I happened to be in the ship scrapping business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Philadelphia at the waterfront. And I was scrapping. I had a contract there to scrap ships, and I used a ship to scrap back to Pittsburgh. That's where they came back for some up. And I was approached by a chap who was head of the drugstores chain in Philadelphia, and he came down to the dock, and I was there at the dock, and he asked me if you know, he knew I was scrapping ships there and working at the yard there in the shipyard. And he said, could you maybe load some ships for Israel, small ships, to take medical supplies, hospital equipment, which they were allowed to
receive.
Receive. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, I could do that, no problem at all. And so they sent the man down and they start shipping these medical supplies to me. And I was putting them aboard the boats. But when they start shipping them, and everybody in the port knew
what you were doing.
What I was